Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
And hello, everybody. This is your host, Bill Carnes, here on 2A Radio. Again, we're up on Skype. Had some trouble with the ISDN line yesterday when filling in for Dave Champion. So hopefully everything's coming through on Skype okay. Have a bit of an update here on the TSA, Transportation Security Administration. They are defending holding a student with Arabic flashcards at Philadelphia Airport. Here's the story. The Transportation Security Administration is defending its treatment of a California college student who was detained at the Philadelphia Airport after Arabic flashcards were found in his backpack. Nick George, a senior at Pomona College, told a Philadelphia Daily News columnist that the stereo speakers he was carrying in his bag on August 29th led TSA workers to pull him out of the metal detector line and search him. When they found 200 Arabic-English flashcards in his carry-on, they escorted him to another screening area and questioned him for about 45 minutes, he said. Now, suspicions may have been arisen because his passport had stamps from Jordan, where he'd studied abroad, and his trips to Egypt and the Sudan. It didn't help the guy when the words terrorist and explosion were among the words that his flashcards had, which George said he was using to help him understand Al Jazeera TV. But Nick George believes things got out of hand when he says a Philadelphia police officer put handcuffs on him and took him to the airport holding cell for several hours. He was released after another round of questioning from the FBI, from what he told the Philadelphia Daily News. He missed his flight and was issued a ticket for departure the next day. The TSA denies George's version of events, explaining he was flagged for questioning even before he went through the security line because officials thought he was acting suspiciously. TSA spokeswoman Ann Davis told the Daily News that George caught the attention of the agency's behavioral specialist, who are on the lookout for involuntary physical and psychological reactions that people exhibit in response to a fear of being discovered. The report filed on the incident suggests that George's behavior escalated to a point where our officers deemed it necessary to contact the Philadelphia Police Department. Now, I've got to tell you, I am finally happy that they are no longer looking at Grandma and Grandpa when it comes to screening of these people. If they find someone and he's got Arabic English cards, terrorist explosion, things like that, that's exactly the type of person that should be getting stopped by TSA. And this guy, Nick George, shouldn't be complaining about it. Because if he were not involved as an Arabic linguist and been studying abroad, and he had read this news story like myself or anybody else, he'd look at it and say, wow, finally. They're not taking the old blue-haired lady with the walker off to the side and looking in her little flip-flops for explosions, for explosives. They're looking for a young man in his 20s who might be somebody with ties to Arabic terrorists. I should say Islamic terrorists who come from the Arabic world. So that, right there, my friends, I am happy to see that evidently TSA finally got on the ball with at least one guy. Let's hope that it can continue. Stay tuned for more coming at you right here on 2A Radio. I'm your host, Bill Carnes.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Karn. 1-800-313-9443.
So it's coming out that the people who are going and protesting, the taxpayers who are protesting on Washington, D.C., as they did on 9/12, seem to be presenting the GOP, the Republicans, with a bit of a predicament here. The taxpayer march on Washington proved that conservatives can turn out in impressive numbers to protest the direction of the Democratic-led federal government, but it also presents Republicans with a really kind of a tricky task in figuring out how to marshal the energy on display at the mall this last Saturday. The ability to channel the wide-ranging frustrations expressed by speaker after speaker may determine whether beleaguered conservatives will be able to create a movement rivaling, that which liberals used under the power Democrats had back into the majority when they came back in 2006. Congressional elections and Barack Obama also ended up going into the White House, to where now we have the entire federal government controlled, obviously, by the Democrats. The sentiment expressed Saturday in Washington, however, suggests that Republicans can't necessarily count on tens of thousands of protesters to turn out in Washington, and at different simultaneous rallies in, let's see, they had them in Dallas and Denver, Quincy, Illinois, and other cities and towns across the country, to make inroads in the 2010 election, midterm elections, and later to mount a stiff challenge to Obama in 2012. Many marchers displayed little allegiance to Republicans, and some were openly hostile, contending that when the party controlled Washington until 2006, the federal government spent recklessly. Here's a quote. "When Republicans are in power, they act like everyone else," said marcher Debbie Bahanan of Oklahoma City. "Personally, I don't feel like Republicans are standing up and fighting hard enough," said Jim Bryant, an aviation consultant from Trenton, Georgia. "I want them to stand up for truth, honesty, and personal freedoms." The protesters, whose numbers were in the tens of thousands, though no definitive estimate was actually available Saturday evening, they aired grievances on issues ranging from the bank and auto bailouts to Obama's push to overhaul the nation's health system to concerns about perceived erosion of the First and Second Amendment rights. Still, most of the fire was aimed at Democrats, and some of the sentiments bordered on extremist rhetoric that could do the GOP more harm than good, as the march, which began at Freedom Plaza, a park close to the White House, neared the U.S. Capitol. It was difficult to miss the signs protesting Obama's health care plan, declaring "Bury Obamacare with Kennedy," or featuring grisly images of aborted fetuses. And there were widespread accusations from attendees that Obama isn't American-born, a charge from the mainstream of the Republican Party, that the Republican Party has actually tried to distance itself. So essentially what we've got is we've got people who are conservative-minded marching on Washington for what they feel is right in a unified voice. We have unified people, unified voices out there by the tens of thousands, by the droves, and nobody in Washington is willing to represent them. Now, that is mainstream America. If mainstream America does not want health care, if mainstream America wants proof, undeniable, factual proof of the birthplace of Obama, that he actually has a constitutional, legal ability to hold the office of president, which has been in question for months, it's been in question for quite some time. If they do not want First, Second, Fourth, and Tenth Amendment, I guess, subversions against them, and that's mainstream America, and nobody wants to represent them, there's a real problem there. Because that means that everybody who's in Washington, whether they have a D after their name or an R after their name, really makes very little, if any, difference. It would seem as though they're just there to represent their own interests, and rather the interests that pay their bills, that pay their way, and finance them into and out of office. So, here's a quote from for you. My message is, Your roots are lower taxes, less government, and freedom. Why don't you lead with those issues, said Adam Brannon, a spokesman for FreedomWorks, the small government anti-tax organization chaired by former House leader Dick Armey that sponsored the entire event on Saturday. Brannon touted the text message system FreedomWorks deployed on Saturday to gauge protesters' top issues, explaining the group would use the information to organize activists around those issues by congressional districts in the up-and-coming 2010 elections, a similar technique used by the Obamas, their own tech-savvy presidential campaign of just last year. After Saturday showing the grassroots local activists who form the heart and soul of the called the Tea Party movement hold more of the cards that either the Republican Party or the conservative groups that bolster it, according to GOP strategist Craig Shirley. Wow, imagine that. Could the Republican National Committee turn out 50,000 people on the mall? Asked Shirley. And Shirley, by the way, happens to have a forthcoming book called Rendezvous with Destiny, Ronald Reagan and the Campaign That Changed America, which chronicles how Reagan's 1980 presidential campaign recentered the GOP around a strong national defense and fiscal conservatism. However, that fiscal conservatism kind of went out the window because Reagan, for all 8 years of office, had a Democratic-controlled Congress. Really, the Tea Party is in the position to dictate terms to the Republican Party. So the question for the Tea Party people is do they say a poll tax on their houses and possibly investigate starting a third party, a populist anti-big government, anti-Wall Street party, or do they take over the Republican Party starting at the county and state levels? That was continued in a quote by Craig Shirley. Still, Shirley suggests that in order for the movement to have a lasting impact on American politics, it needs to embrace an agenda rather than just oppose the Democratic one. At some point, that will need to come, he predicted. Imagine that. Only a handful of GOP lawmakers were on the roster of rally speakers, and those that did were conservative like South Carolina Senator DeMitt, Representatives Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, Mike Pence of Indiana, and Tom Price of Georgia. The common thread among the speakers, both the politicians and the leaders of various conservative groups, many of them with a libertarian tilt, was an assertion of American decline, and that the assembled protesters were the nation's best hope of correcting course and recognizing it with traditional values. Imagine that. But the values varied from speaker to speaker, with many concerned about fiscal failings, while others stressed individual rights, and others warned of descent into socialism and the loss of the American way. Now, I'd imagine if you actually dissect each and every one of these speakers, with the amount of time allotted, they probably all feel very similar on all of these topics. But who's representing them? Who's representing us? At Saturday's rally, some waved Glenn Beck for President signs, and many activists attribute the idea for and energy behind the marches to Beck. During a March broadcast, he unveiled what he called the 9/12 Project, in which he urged viewers to try to recreate the united America that emerged the day after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack. It's not about politics, Beck said during the March broadcast. You actually believe in something, and you thought for a while there that your politicians did as well. And now you kind of realize, well, maybe they don't. Which is quite true. It doesn't get much more loud and clear than with the actions of the people who are supposed to be actionable. If you get actions from actionable people that result in things that are not positive for this country, you must replace those actionable people with others who will actually perform the proper actions. And with that, I'm talking about elected officials. Saturday, as they marched, the activists who chanted, "We own the dome," while pointing at the Capitol, sounded the same note. "We used to be Republicans," said Helen Benson of Jacksonville, Florida. "We don't like John McCain. The media likes John McCain. They're certainly not listening, Democrats or Republicans, said Steve Cobb, who made it to Washington from Cordell, Georgia, with his wife, Sylvia. That's absolutely right. John McCain is a lousy Republican on his best day, what's referred to as a rhino, Republican in name only. He's certainly not conservative. The only reason John McCain really got any sort of a nod was because the Republicans want to look more mainstream and appeal to the more liberal groups. Now, here's how I look at it. I've explained this before. If you take a clock and it only exists half of it, from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, from 9 o'clock up to 12 and over to 3, at 12 o'clock, right between 11 and 1, you have kind of the middle-of-the-road people. From 1 to 3, you have the conservatives. And from 11 over to 9, you have the liberals. There is absolutely no representation for the people between 3 o'clock and 1 o'clock on the Republican side. The Democrats are all the way over, like from 11 to 9. The Republicans are from 11 to about 10 because they overlap quite a bit. But for the other portion, the truly conservative people in this country, which the conservative movement is growing and growing and growing exponentially, there is no representation out of the Republican Party, which is why I believe a new party needs to actually be brought up through a grassroots effort that actually will represent conservative ideals and conservative principles. Stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Okay, a little bit of news out of the Iranian news organization called The Yanks and Their Need for Guns. Listen to this. Barack Obama's assurance that there would be no ban on sale of weapons during his presidential campaign could not stop a remarkable increase in gun sales across the United States. The Christian Science Monitor cited U.S. gunmaker Smith & Wesson's report that there was a 30% rise in sales over the first quarter. Meanwhile, police departments across the U.S. are using the White House's tax-funded stimulus bill to boost their arsenals with shotguns, handguns, and assault rifles, the report said. Even the anti-gun term assault rifle made it to Iran. In August alone, a record 1 million guns were sold across the country among the general public. Gun Culture magazine in the 90s named President Clinton Gun Salesman of the Year, but I think Obama, without even trying, has become Gun Salesman of the Century, said Brian Ars Patrick, a gun culture expert at the University of Toledo. According to the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, having arms is legal, but gun advocates have been stockpiling because they say they could not forget former President Bill Clinton's federal assault weapons ban during his administration. The global financial downturn has also influenced the upsurge in the gun industry as people fear the rise of crimes and the recession-embattled life. A gun salesman told the AFP during the first 100 days of President Obama's administration that his shop had seen a sharp increase in the number of first-time gun owners. We had a couple in their 70s last weekend who had never owned a firearm before, and they said they wanted one now, said Dennis Roman. We said, why do you want a firearm? They said, we're worried about what is happening. Generally, when this economy goes down, the industry goes up. People are afraid of being victimized, he said. Now, that comes out of an Iranian news agency. How interesting is that? Because, quite honestly, if this whole thing in the Middle East keeps going, the U.S. and Iran are probably on a collision course with this whole nuclear debate that's going on. So, Anyhow, a little bit of information out of Texas. A trooper was arrested for some illegal activity. Now, here's one of our law enforcement professionals, right? The Texas DPS released the following press release involving the arrest of a state trooper. Texas Rangers today arrested a Bourne trooper on felony drug charges after a month-long joint investigation conducted by the Rangers, the DPS Criminal Investigation Division, and the U.S. DEA. Highway Patrol Trooper Jeffrey German, 33, is charged with delivery of a controlled substance. He has worked for DPS for 9 years. The Department of Public Safety is made up of thousands of hardworking and honest commissioned officers and non-commissioned professionals, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so what drug was this guy arrested for? He's been suspended from DPS, and the investigation is ongoing, right? The charge is a second-degree felony punishable by a maximum of 20-year term and a $10,000 fine. German was taken to the Kendall County Jail, and his bond was set at $15,000. Kendall County is about 30 miles northwest of San Antonio, for those of you who want to know. What drug was it? Do you want to know what it was? Steroids. The cop was moving around steroids for bodybuilders. I'll tell you this, from my day when I was a cop, there was a number of police officers that, you know, they had the big badge there. They were 10 foot tall and bulletproof with a badge about 6 foot by 6 foot covering their the center of their body. And the only thing that really was exposed was their feet. And then their head with their big fat mouth flapping above the top of the badge was essentially the way they conducted themselves. And these guys would eat, sleep, live, and breathe cop. They were roommates together. These are the type of guys that go out and they'd all go, finance brand new Harleys and go out looking like a badass biker gang or something. And always working out at this same gym and going to bars and getting into fights at night after patrol. And unfortunately, this is the type of behavior that was actually, it was just kind of overlooked at the time. I don't believe that that's going on now with that department, but it certainly was when I was there. And I just really steered clear of that sort of behavior. But I'll tell you this, I know for a fact that some of those guys were on steroids. And that's certainly not isolated. Around the country, you have a lot of cops that work out. And a lot of them take steroids when they work out like anybody else who takes steroids. So, was this guy breaking the law? Yeah. Did he know he was breaking the law? Sure he was. But in this case, it would be interesting to know a little bit more. I mean, was this guy actually a steroid mule going through, you know, enough steroids for hundreds or even thousands of people to use? Or was it more of a personal use or a small group sort of a thing? Because quite honestly, if you're not getting a high and it's not actually damaging your brain, something like a lot of highs are, I don't really see a huge issue with that. Just me personally. Now, I'm not a guy that goes out and takes steroids and goes and hits the gym and rah, rah, rah. I've seen some negative effects that people have had from them. However, not something like a Schedule 1 narcotic, such as cocaine or heroin or, you know, other things, maybe some barbiturates that are out there. So, interesting story nonetheless that yet again there's a law enforcement professional out there knowingly breaking the law, doing things that they would otherwise arrest others for. The question here is really to what level? Stay tuned, more coming at you. 76 reasons to own a gun after the break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Radio with Bill Karn, 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, I came across this article. It was written called 76 Reasons for Having a Gun. I looked at it, skimmed through it. It's pretty good, so I'm going to go through some of this stuff. Number one, the simple act of having a gun is its own best use. like a battleship parked off the coast. Its mere presence changes the dynamic of the situation without having to fire even a single shot. By having a gun, you become too dangerous to your predators. Criminals interviewed in jail and prison say they don't want anything to do with an armed civilian. That change in my human predators is exactly what I want to accomplish. Number two, a right exercise is a right retained. Number three, the best single tool for protecting your life and the lives of your loved ones is a gun. Number four, you detest American gun laws based on the 1939 Nazi weapons laws. Five, armed societies are polite societies. Six, Switzerland is armed to the teeth with virtually no crime. Seven, because the patience and discipline you acquire while learning about the tool. Eight, so you don't debunk Hollywood gun myths for, so you can debunk Hollywood gun myths for your kids. Nine, so you'll know that not using toy guns when playing is an important step in teaching kids to respect and handle the real thing safely and appropriately. 10. It removes force from the equation of human interaction. 11. Home invasion robberies. And your gun tool should be easy to get to since it will be in the holster that you're wearing for the most part. Okay, 12. Again, this is 76 reasons to have a gun. Robbery and assault victims who use a gun to resist were less likely to be attacked or to suffer an injury than those used by other methods of self-protection or those who did not resist at all, according to a professor of criminology and criminal justice at Florida State University, Gary Kleck. And that was published in Point Blank, Guns and Violence in America, a paper that he put together. 13. We call the police because they have guns, not pens to document what already happened to us. 14. Cougars in the backyard. Happens all the time where we live. Certainly happens around where I live. There are mountain lions up in the mountains. 15. Coyotes. 16. Rattlesnakes. 17. Police budget cuts. For instance, Sacramento County in California will reduce the number of squad cars from 39 to 8 to budget cuts, as aired by their Sacramento Channel 3 News on June 30th of 2009. 18. Early release of violent criminals from overstuffed prisons. Happens more than you think. Check your local news. There's no more room left at the Gray Bar Inn. 19. Economic meltdown. Was Argentina more or less safe when their currency collapsed? And don't forget the other 30 countries whose currencies collapsed in the last 100 years. Happens all the time to the other countries we tend to ignore. It could never happen to the U.S., right? Sure. And in today's day and age, with the economy that we're facing, economic meltdown. Again, number 19. 20. Hurricane Katrina and the next natural disaster. Now, I'm going to stop there and re-relay a story. I have an insurance agent who, after Katrina and seeing everything on the news, knew what I did for a living, training people with firearms, and said that she and her husband had then finally talked about having a gun in the house. He had always been in favor of it. She had not. And she said, after Katrina, I'm thinking maybe we should get a gun. The long story short, she was thinking that they should get a handgun for home protection, to which I let her know a handgun for home protection is not the first choice. It's of the options, of really the four options in Nevada, three options in the most of the rest of the country, is really the last choice. And the options are handguns, shotguns, rifles, or, a lot of people don't think about this, a submachine gun. Quite honestly, I think a submachine gun is probably the best all-around home defense gun. You don't have to worry about over-penetrating through materials and such. You can get a lot of fast hits on somebody with accurate fire. Shotgun is an excellent tool. Shotgun is what I use. And then you have a rifle. The problem with the rifle is, they work wonderfully. You have an over-penetration issue that can come up with the majority of calibers. And on top of that, you also end up with a deafening crack of a supersonic round. And then handguns below that. Now, that's just my opinion. A lot of firearms people, it's like everybody agrees that you should be able to perform a tactical reload. And then the discussion from there ends and goes on to, well, you know, there's a dozen ways to do a tactical reload. Which method should we use? So, anyhow, I tried to talk her into getting a shotgun for home defense, because that's really all they were going to do was home defense. Okay, number 21. It's better than a knife past 2 yards. 22. The only sure victim prevention lies with the victim-to-be. 23. Police only document crimes after they happen. They might investigate, but they have no legal responsibility to prevent crime. 24. Saying police are not your bodyguard is quite an understatement. 25. According to the Dalai Lama, if someone has a gun and is trying to kill you, it would be reasonable to shoot back with your own gun. Now, that was according to a bit in the Seattle Times from May 15th, 2001. 26. When seconds count, the police arrive. They're only minutes away. 27. How many police does it take to give one speeding ticket to a dangerous soccer mom? Well, 5. There's no punchline. It's just how many that the guy that wrote this list saw it take just a week ago. That's 5 police not available for a real crime happening somewhere else. 28. The L.A. riots, for which the shotgun that was needed in the back seat on the way home for one particular guy from work was the right tool. He counted 22 plumes of smoke on each side of the freeway on the way home that day. And the U.S. troops on the streets for the next three days must have thought that the M16 they were carrying were the right tool for the job, too. Okay, 29. New York City blackouts. Now, it's very possible that there's predictable blackouts as more cities and counties go bankrupt and don't have the money to maintain their electricity grids. 30. The official role of police is to investigate and not prevent crime. That's actually, you know what? That was already on the list, wasn't it? It was relisted. The fact that they have no legal responsibility to have to actually respond or protect any individual citizen, I would think that should actually probably replace 30. And that's a real crux, because there's been many courts, including the Supreme Court, that have ruled on that. All right. Number 31. Self-defense is an inherent human right. It's given to you by God, not your government. Again, 76 reasons to have a gun. See, 32. Since criminals will always have guns, there's no reasonable expectation of self-defense if law-abiding citizens don't have them as well. 33. Meat on the table. Or do you only eat meat that other people kill? 34. 1 in 4 chance of being on the receiving end of a violent crime, and that was before the economic meltdown. 35. Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Sonia Sotomayor, if you were impressed with the Clinton torture of the words is, wait till you see what this bunch is going to do to the 27 words of the Second Amendment. By the time they're done, they'll have us believing that the amendment has something to do with toaster ovens. Don't laugh. We should have made each one of these people their own separate reasons. 36. If history is any guide, we should now expect increased gun control. Now, that's called victim disarmament. Those are victim disarmament laws passed under the guise of protecting us with the government takeover of all banks, GM, Chrysler. The U.S. has now crossed over into the dictionary definition of fascism. 37. Gun control laws increase violent crime as only law-abiding citizens abide by the laws. That makes gun control into effective victim disarmament. 38. Last line of defense for family while traveling. 39. Clean-cut young men like Ted Bundy. 40. Reason number 40 for having a gun. As a hobby to improve self-discipline and the understanding of physics. 41. To bring your physical preparation for resisting non-initiated force in line with your spiritual and intellectual efforts to avoid it. 42. The Virginia Tech Massacre. Cho killed 32 people and wounded another 17. Gun control. Now read this as victim disarmament. Has turned our schools into killing zones. Don't those psychos know that guns are not allowed on campus? Actually, people like Cho do know, and that's why they choose school campuses for their shooting rampages, because they'll be the only ones with guns. Reason number 43. School officials called the police when they heard Cho gunning people down at Virginia Tech. They called the police because they had no guns that could stop Cho. Were guns the problem at or the solution that day? The answer is that Cho was the problem, and guns were the solution. If law-abiding students were allowed to carry, then their guns would have been the solution, being delivered long before so many innocent students were killed, waiting for the police to arrive and cordon off the area. Number 44. Camping among dangerous four-legged creatures. Reason number 45 to have a gun. Camping among dangerous two-legged creatures. Number 46. To equalize physical strengths in a confrontation. 47. Carrying a gun is a lighter burden than regret. 48. The Zodiac Killer. They never caught him. He claimed 37 known victims and is probably between 60 and 70 years old now, if alive. There's an active website where you can actually submit tips. 49. If violent crime is not a factor, then why do we still need police? That's actually a very good point. I'm going to pause there with number 49, because now my brain is running. If guns were completely eliminated and there was no such thing as gun violence any longer, wouldn't the sheer number of law enforcement officers across the country at local, state, and federal levels be reduced? Number 50. You're several more times likely in your lifetime to need a handgun to deal with a lethal threat than you are for fire insurance on your home. Yet more people carry fire insurance than a gun. 51. Guns prevent an estimated 2.5 million crimes a year, or 6,849 crimes per day. You don't hear about them because they never happened. Violent offenders shy away, number 52, violent offenders shy away from houses and people who are likely to be armed. So that is criminal repellent. 53, your security is not your neighbor's responsibility. 54, your security is not legally the police's responsibility. 55, to increase criminal expectations that you might have a gun. 56, reason to have a gun. To bear your share of the responsibility and burden of the proven gun deterrence of crime. 57. Because criminals fear entering your house because of my gun, because of your gun. Get your own and spread the nonviolence. 58. Because there are evil people in the world that can't be talked to or really... They can't be talked to or intellectually reasoned out of trying to kill you. 59. To convert force into persuasion. Someone brings force, you can match it, now they have to turn it into persuasion. Number 60. To remove fear from human interaction. 61. A mugger, even an armed one, can only make a successful living in a society where the state has granted him a force monopoly, such as gun control. 62. The gun is the only weapon that's as lethal in the hand as an octagarian as in the hands of a weightlifter. Basically meaning that it is a force equalizer and physical stature really doesn't come into play. 63. To promote equality. I like that one. 64. Every living creature has the natural right of self-defense. 65. There are people in this world to whom you're not a human being. You're merely an obstacle to obtaining your possessions. 66. after you hand over the money, they'll still kill you for being a witness. 67. YouTube videos of people being killed after they give up the money or open the safe. 68. As a communication device for someone who'd kill you to get the latest PlayStation or Xbox or iPhone. And you know it's happened. Reason number 69 to have a gun. Because every citizen in Switzerland has an automatic weapon in their basement, and they have almost zero violent crime, and they all know how to use their guns. Let's see, where are we? We are at number 70. To appeal to the better nature of a man who doesn't have a gun. 71. So that you can protect yourself against criminals who use guns as a deadly extension of their inability to deal with people. 72. Because there are people out there who would use a gun against you just to avoid the hassle of persuasion or the inconvenience of fair trade. 73. According to the FBI, states with shall issue rights to carry have a 26% lower violent crime rate, with a 20% lower homicide rate, a 39% lower robbery rate, and a 22% lower aggravated assault rate than those states who do not allow their citizens to legally carry a gun. 74. The Bureau of Justice national average states that I have a 1 in 4 chance of being a victim of a violent crime in my lifetime. 75. Genocide frequently follows government disarmament of private citizens. And number 76 of 76 reasons to have a gun, liberty or death, the meaning of which is clear and absolute. There you go. 76 reasons to have a gun. If some of the other reasons that you've heard here on 2A Radio weren't good enough. Got more to come after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, I'm going to take a bit of a shameless time for the next couple of minutes here. And here's the deal. I talked a couple of weeks ago something about some dive equipment that I've got. Here's the deal. Whenever one of my kids turns 10 years old, they get to spend a week at Disneyland, just them and daddy. So I have a daughter who's about to turn 10, and we need to go do this trip at Disneyland. And in this economy, yours truly is a little short. So I have some twice-used dive gear I'm trying to offload. And I've had a number of emails on it from when I talked a couple of weeks ago. So rather than answering all of these emails, I'm just going to spit it out there for those of you who are interested in dive stuff. I have a couple of size large men's black Ocean Pacific Type 3 vests. I got a dive light, a couple of pairs of goggles, some gloves, a hood, a knife with a sheath, Farmer's John 3mm wetsuit and men's size large. A body glove size 3mm wetsuit size large and men's, some twin jet fins by Scuba Pro, an SSI emergency breathing system, a couple of pairs of men's size 9 dive boots, a couple of snorkels. I've got a bunch of miscellaneous, you know, belts, ties, O-rings, a big duffel bag with wheels that all goes in, and really kind of the culmination. I also have a tank. I have the real gem of this is a Sunco Cobra dive computer with two Dakar Viper breathing units and a Dakar controller. And that right there is about $1,100 or $1,200 worth of stuff. So those of you who've been emailing kind of back and forth with me on all this dive related stuff, it's really high end gear. It's all been used twice, once in a pool, once out in the open, and that's it. And it's all in pristine shape. So if anybody has an interest, email me, bill@2aradio.com, as well as with your comments on the show, bill@2aradio.com. I try to check that every day. Again, I actually had, I've talked about a fellow named Pete who he and I have some rather candid conversations. Pete told me that he was just finally able to finish the last piece of the Ronin AR-15, where he got the 10, bolt carrier and bolt for his AR-15, put it in there and said it was rough, it wasn't smooth, he had some trouble. So my advice to him, which I'll tell you guys, when I have had trouble with things like that, this has been my procedure to try to get the bolt and bolt carrier to work properly. I will take 1,500 grit wet dry sandpaper, and I will take sewing machine oil, which is a very light thin oil, and I'll go over very lightly all the surfaces of the bolt and bolt carrier. Then, if need be, I will also go over the surfaces inside the gun in the channels where those things sit. So if in fact that needs to get done because it's tight inside the rails of the gun, then certainly do that. I'd like to close by saying to those of you within our government, we'll be watching you. And Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. So please, if you're in the government, listen carefully to that, because the 9/12 and the Tea Partiers are a-coming. Thanks very much for spending your day. I look forward to your emails. Have a good one.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.